Okay, good morning. It's still a good morning, and I'm glad to have you guys here joining us, but especially the majority of you out there joining us this morning. We are welcome into this too, and I just love that God is spirit, and he's not handicapped by these difficulties we're facing, and we will be praying for the pandemic as it seems to be rising up again, this wave. And before we do, I want to invite all of you. Well, I guess we can't invite all of you, but we are having a special baptism service next Sunday at 10 a.m. at Aaron and Kim's Farmette. And just want to say my heart is, I'm having just a great time watching God work in young people's lives. And I had shared before that I've been praying that in this time where we see less people able to go to church, I've been praying for the churches and ours that more people would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I think God's blessing that prayer in my life just because in the last 3 weeks I've seen three young 20-something men find their way to church, find their way to God, and invite them in their lives. And that is what the church is about. It was ironic. It came after the, you know, Jesus talking about you do not light a lamp in Luke, right? We just heard that message about you don't light a lamp and put it under the bed or under a bowl. You put it on a stand for all to see. And I encourage you, I think there is God's moving in a special way. And I want to encourage all those here and those watching that if you have a young adult in your life that you have a connection with, it's just I just ask the simple question, would you like to talk about spiritual stuff? And not one has said no yet. And so you get a chance to share the good news that Jesus Christ came to die for their sins, to rise from the grave so that they could have a personal relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And this is a great opportunity. And let's just, Jesus said the fields, you know, are white with, the harvest is plenty, the workers are few, so let's get out there and do some spiritual plowing. Amen? Amen. So we're in a series called the Paradigm Shift as we go through the Gospel of Luke. And this is all God-ordained series as we, not knowing, we're hitting a pandemic. And it's a time that if we were ever to study anything or meet God anywhere in the scriptures, the Bible, it would be in a gospel because it's about Jesus Christ, the Savior, and how much more do we need him than a time like this, right? And so we're going through the Gospel of Luke, Paradigm Shift, which is simply this idea that, and this isn't just for the world to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but it's also for us believers because depending on our backgrounds or lack of understanding, but Jesus Christ came to show us that we can live a life with God, not just a life for God, not just a life under the commandments, but a life with God. And that's what we're trying to understand. And it should rock our world in understanding as we shift from one paradigm, one worldview, to the one that God wants us to have. And so on that note, last week, as we saw, Jesus had the power over nature and storms to bring his disciples into the next destination he had for them. I mentioned in that last week's sermon that he was bringing them across the Sea of Galilee just for the sake of one man who was being demonically controlled. And that's how much God loves us. He will do anything for one lost sheep. Amen? Amen. And that my friend Ted Gary would come and share that story. They're both about the power of Jesus over nature, over demonic powers, things that keep us from walking the fullness of the plans and purposes he has for us. And Ted Gary is a friend. He manages the East Side Princeton Club. And and we've got to have opportunities to do ministry together. He's taught at the men's retreat more than once at New Crossing Church. He also has participated in our personal prayer ministry. There's times when I invite him to join me. And so, by the way, there is a person, you can go to the New Crossing website if you feel like you need some extra time in prayer with somebody or some people to pray you through things, and know that you can sign up, and we do that. And so in connection with that, Ted and I've got to just work together to help people find freedom in Christ. So, and Ted is married to Melody. They have four kids. And a great grand, or not a great grandchild, but I mean a really awesome grandchild. and so it's just fun doing things with him. So I'm going to pray, and then I will invite Ted to come on up. So Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus Christ. Your heart's passion wasn't religious ceremonies, but you did use those to teach us your character, and about holiness, and about truth, and about even community. And I do pray in this time of a pandemic, Lord, that your church, Jesus, that you started, the church that you created for us to become a spiritual family, not diminish, but thrive, even when we can't meet face to face. And we are praying for the end of this virus. This is part of the fallen world we live in. And we pray that you'll give great skill to the doctors and researchers to be able to bring this to a close, Lord. But in this time that your churches cannot meet as easily face to face, we pray there will be a great harvest of new believers, and especially this next generation, that in their hunger for you, they will find their way to your churches, and men and women that can share your story, Jesus, your story of love and defeating an enemy who wants to destroy us. And I pray now the anointing of your Spirit upon Ted as he brings Luke chapter 8 story to us, and ask that you give him the words, that Holy Spirit, you empower those words to enter our hearts. Let our eyes see, let our ears hear in the spiritual realms, so that all of us, your sons and daughters, are not observers but participators in the kingdom, and that we will see Satan lose, Lord, more and more ground in the lives of others. And you said the church would come against the gates of hell and prevail against them, and we pray more people will be saved and set free in Jesus' name. Amen. Ted, please join us.
Good morning. I just want to start by saying that worship this morning was powerful. And how many of you believe this morning that these are times where we need to raise our voices, because it is a time to silence the enemy? The Bible says that it is out of the mouth of children and infants that God has ordained praise to silence the enemy. And I believe that the enemy has brought a pandemic, but I also believe that God is releasing an epidemic of his goodness. And have you guys noticed that God just seems to be getting, I was going to say gooder, but doesn't it seem like God is getting better and better and better toward us? For me, it's been a season of seeing God's goodness. We had a little grandchild that was born about 3 months ago in the midst of the pandemic. And just the fear that enters in when you have a little baby that's being born in a hospital where the virus is increasing. And I just want to say, guys, God is so good. He just gets better and better and better. And as we look back on our lives, we just see his faithfulness. So I just want to say thank you this morning for being with you. I know most of you. I love most of you. No, I love all of you. I love these guys and consider it a privilege to just be with you this morning. Well, our context this morning is out of the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And I've entitled the message, Freedom Fighters. And God is calling us to fight for freedom. Freedom in our own lives, freedom in the lives of other people. And so this morning, my invitation to you to start with is to invite you to be a freedom fighter. Let's look at our scripture this morning. I told Pastor Craig that I would prepare this out of the ESV, but in reality, this is out of the NIV. I apologize for that. All right, freedom. Can we, like... All right, Luke 8, verses 26 through 39. Jesus restores a demon-possessed man. All right, they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Well, whenever I read a passage like this, the first question that I ask myself is, what is Jesus showing me about himself? It was a couple years ago, many years ago, where I determined and realized that throughout all of the Bible, God is revealing his character to us. From Genesis to Revelation, God is showing us how good he is, revealing his character. In the book of Genesis, when you talk about Noah, he's sharing with us that he's a God of a new beginning. And with Abraham, he's a covenant God. He makes covenant with us. And then you get to the New Testament and you see that Jesus is representing his Father. So whenever I see the goodness of Jesus, I can connect the dots and say, my Heavenly Father is just like this. And it was such a paradigm shift for me because I was taught as a young Catholic and then a young Baptist, but mostly as a Catholic, that God was angry and Jesus was good. But somehow I realized that through this revelation that it's either Jesus and God are always good or Jesus and God are angry. And so when I was able to align that, I just came into a better understanding of how good God is. But when we look at this scripture in particular, I just want to point out a couple things that I see that Jesus is revealing to us about himself. And I always love it when a pastor stands up and preaches half your message, which Craig did this morning. It's no problem. Right. So Jesus is the God of the one. Right? It's clear in Scripture. Many times we see Jesus reaching into the life of the one. There's the woman at the well where Jesus came and didn't judge her. The woman had been married many times, and the man that she was currently living with, she was not married to. But Jesus comes in to the life of the one. So just want you to hear this morning, because sometimes we look at God as being far off and distant, but who he really is a father that wants intimate relationship with each one of us. In spite of everything that's going on and the storms that are crashing around us, Jesus does want to meet you where you're at. We know from Scripture that Jesus leaves, the good shepherd leaves the 99 to go after the one. Right? Isn't that, I guess the word will have to be awesome. Isn't it awesome that Jesus would leave the 99 and go after the one? If you this morning feel like God isn't interested in your circumstances and the stress that you have, remember that he goes after the one. In this case, this is about a demon-possessed man. Jesus stopped for the one, delivered him from a full legion of demons. Number two, when I look at this particular passage, what I see is compassion. Everything that Jesus does is out of compassion. When he heals out of compassion. When he sets people free, it's out of compassion. And ultimately, when he laid his life down and went to the cross, it was the greatest demonstration of his compassion. The third thing I see here is Jesus has all authority. Right, we know that the Bible says that Jesus has all authority on both heaven and on earth. And so it was the authority that he had to rebuke the demon, to cast them out into the swine. And this is a demonstration of his ultimate authority. And the last thing that I see is Jesus wants us to encounter him. So God, Jesus, seeks to make himself known to all people. God desires to have relationship. And God desires to have a life-changing understanding of God and his ways. So these are some of the things that we see. He has all authority. Everything he does out of compassion. He wants us to encounter him, and he's the God of the one. Now, who was the demon-possessed man? It seems like this man was in a lot of trouble, but I don't believe that he's much different than you and I. He must have got himself into a mess of trouble to have been possessed by a legion of demons. But Jesus, in his goodness, went to him and delivered him from this legion of demons. Well, so who is this man? Who is this possessed man? Well, by definition, he is possessed by the enemy. And the idea here is that we have a soul. And this man was, his soulish realm was possessed by the enemy. Right, so when God created us, each one of us, there's one thing that we have in common. We come from different places, we come from different cultures, we come from different upbringings. The one thing we each have in common is when God created us, he put inside of each one of us a God-sized hole. Right, so when Craig is witnessing and when I'm witnessing and leading people to Christ, Sometimes we'll use this analogy that when God created you, he created you with a God-sized hole. This hole, this God-sized hole, can only be filled by his son, Jesus. And this is the reality, guys, and I think it's interesting Craig's talking about evangelism because I don't think there's a more important privilege than to be able to lead someone to Christ. Right? The Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice when one person comes to know Jesus. There was a time at the health club, this is kind of, I hope you'll find this funny. There was a time at the health club where my brother Dave and I had a contest. And we started on a Monday, and we began to see how many people we could win to Christ. Now, naturally, I won. And it seems kind of crazy, but these were genuine conversions. And I've got something funny to tell you. Sarah Newby was one of those that I led to Christ back then. Your very own Sarah Newby. Just share this with you because I feel comfortable with you guys. When I led her to Christ, I prophesied over her that she would be responsible for a women's ministry. And at that time, she had no idea, and I had no idea. I was just practicing this prophetic stuff. But I led her to Christ, and I was just practicing prophecy, and I said, Sarah, you don't know this, but there's a day coming where you're going to oversee a women's ministry, and it will break out of a particular context, and it will go over into the city. And how many of you guys know that she certainly is a part of the church here, and also the different conferences that she has. Just an example of God's goodness. So when God created us, he created us with a God-sized hole, and it can only be filled by his son, Jesus. We can't fill it with alcohol. We can't fill it with drugs, sexual immorality. The truth is that for true satisfaction and for eternal life, we must fill that God-sized hole with the son, his son, Jesus. And so what does the book of Revelation say? It says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone would open the door, I'll come in, and I'll spend time with you. And so we don't see much actual possession here in America. And the reason for that is because a lot of actual possession is because of witchcraft. And how many of you have traveled outside the U.S., different countries, many of you? Well, possession a lot of times will come, in today's vernacular, will come from witchcraft. And a person that is possessed, literally possessed, simply means that the enemy or a demonic spirit has made its home in that person. We won't see many possessions here in America because we don't have high levels of witchcraft. But I will tell you, I was in India with Sam Duram many years ago, and a woman walked up to me for prayer. And in India, one of the things that they really want is they want the, I think they call it the holy man, to just put their hand on them and receive a blessing. And much of the blessing has to do with their education. They really need education to help them to grow in their lives. So they just want a blessing for education. And I went up to, the woman came forward to me, a Hindu woman, and I just came close to her. I didn't even touch her, and all of a sudden she fell on the ground, and she was slithering like a snake. And I looked everywhere I could for Sam Duram. I'm like, where is Sam Duram? But I realized in the moment that I had all authority. Right? Jesus said in the Great Commission, I give you authority. Now you go lay your hands on the sick. Now you cast out demons. Now, I don't know if you believe this, but the Bible also tells us that greater things will we do even than Jesus did. I cannot rid this idea from my mind that as she came toward me, there must have been something inside of me that caused her to fall to the ground and slither like a snake. When she stood up, she was completely delivered. the demonic spirit, the witchcraft that was around her life. She was completely free. And I just learned a very valuable lesson that it's his authority in us that sets the captives free. So Jesus stands at the door of our heart and knocks. If anyone will come in, he'll make his home in us. And that's really the topic today about freedom fighters. We are going to come across people that have not made Christ their habitation. And we're going to come across people that have been tormented by the enemy, and they need an encounter with Jesus. All right, the other thing I'd just like to share with you a little bit is just this topic of sonship. And 1 John 4 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love." Verse 12, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we see and testify that the Father has sent his Son to the Savior, to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God." Now this word abide means that God is love, and when we abide in him, we're at home in his presence. We're at home in the Father's embrace. So we, as Christian people, are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and we are possessed, for lack of a better word, in the right context, by the Holy Spirit. So you and I can never be possessed by the enemy like this demon-possessed man was. Okay, let me say that again. You and I, there is only room for us to make Jesus at home in our lives. So you and I, as Christian people, have been indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And so we cannot be possessed by the enemy. Amen? All right, what is the Great Commission? As a freedom fighter, what is the Great Commission? Mark 16, verse 15 through 18 said, "You and I are to go into all the world." So Mark 16, 15 through 18, he said to his disciples, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe." Okay, focus on this. "In my name you will drive out demons. You will speak in new tongues. You will pick up snakes and not be harmed. You will place your hands on sick people, and they will get well." How many of you know that the need to be set free is important in the church? So when I was growing up, I was never taught about the demonic, right? So it's just something we didn't talk about. And I'll just share an experience with you. I was in my office at work, and a young man came in, and I was prophesied over a year ago prior to that, so this was a year prior to that, that God was going to use me with a deliverance ministry to see people set free. This young man came in my office, and I thought, well, if anyone needs deliverance, this guy needs to be set free. He shared with me his story, and I said, "God, I don't know how this is going to work, but I do know that you said that you would anoint me to set the captive free." And so this young man came in my office. He shared with me his story. I said, "Well, God, with your help, we'll see what we can do to set this guy free." And I put my hand on his back, and I began to pray. And as I prayed for him, God gave me the name of every spirit that had come against him. So we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a gift called discerning of spirits. And so one of the gifts that God has given me is to be able to discern spirits. Now, let me pull back a little bit. You and I cannot be possessed by the enemy, but we can be afflicted, we can be oppressed, and we can be depressed by the enemy. I want you to think about this statement. What you don't believe from the Word of God, you cannot receive from the Word of God. Is that okay to say that? What you don't believe from the Word of God, you can't legitimately receive from the Word of God. Now, God is merciful, but for example, if you just don't believe that God heals, you may or may not get a healing. Right? If you believe that God is not a deliverer, you might not get delivered. Now, God is merciful, and sometimes he just surprises us and delivers us and heals us. But I just want to just point that out to you, that what you don't believe from the Word of God, you can't receive from the Word of God. And this is one thing, and I know you've all experienced this, but I just want to bring this out into the light, that in order for the bride of Christ to be without spot or wrinkle, we're going to need to be set free from oppression, from depression, from affliction. All right, so you and I cannot be possessed by the enemy. We can't be like the demon-possessed man. But you and I can be afflicted. We can be oppressed. We can be depressed. We can have bondages put on us by the enemy. And the Bible says that it's his anointing that breaks the yoke. All right, so when two animals are yoked together, they pull together simultaneously. The Bible tells us that it's his anointing that breaks the yoke. So when the anointing comes, the animals are free to run. It's the same thing for you and I, that when the anointing comes, we are set free to run the race that God has for us. Now, you don't seem like a Pentecostal church here. I don't hear a lot of amens and throwing your shoes at me or anything. What you don't believe from the Word of God, you can't receive from the Word of God. If you believe there is no enemy, there's no affliction, that when I came to know Christ, I'm just going to be okay, then you're going to have a difficult journey, because you must understand that the enemy still comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Right? We've accepted Christ, but we need to have revelation that he's still coming to rob, he's still coming to destroy. And it's Jesus that can set us free from the afflictions of the enemy. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." You and I need to be freedom fighters. We need to be what Isaiah 61 says, liberating the captives, opening prison doors, giving beauty for ashes. The church needs to be liberated from demonic oppression. And it's going to take people like you and I to liberate the captives. So I want to get a little practical this morning. Just share a couple ideas with you. I grew up Baptist. The Baptist church doesn't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in many cases. And then one day I was baptized into the Holy Spirit. This weird thing started to happen to me. I began to speak in other tongues, and I was Baptist. Now let me say this. I love the Catholic Church. I love the Baptist Church. All of these have been a part of my personal expression. So you will never hear me talking against the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, the Lutheran Church. I love the church. Guys, God loves his church. Jesus died for his church. If you ever get this weird thing inside of you where you believe God is angry at his church, you have swallowed the wrong pill. Jesus loves his church. He died for his church. Now, we're pretty mixed up, right? We're pretty messed up at times. Not this church, of course, but the church I attend. But he died for his church. He loves the church. And then we get to be ambassadors to the world from the church, sent out by God to lead people to Christ and to see Christ followers get set free within the church. All right, so how does this work? Let's keep it practical and simple. There is not a demon behind every tree. There is not a demon behind every tree. There's not a demon behind every bush. All right, so if you're one of those people that you see a demon behind everything, just don't come to my camp, all right? Let me say it this way. It's easier to walk in a dark room and turn on the light than it is to fumble around in the dark looking for demonic entities. Amen? So I want to be the person that brings light into a dark scenario. It's the light of Jesus Christ living inside of us that exposes the darkness. I know we're small in number today, but that is a good word. So I'm going to need to hear either a hallelujah or an amen, or you can throw your shoe at me. There you go. So it is easier to bring the light of Jesus into a dark scenario than it is to fumble around in the darkness and look for demonic entities. So focus on Jesus. Focus on the cross. Don't get tied up in the demonic. Don't get overly excited by the demonic. But realize that it is real. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in high places. We have a pandemic that's coming through the world. People are suffering. But we have to be able to admit that the enemy is a part of the pandemic, right? The enemy has to be a part of this pandemic. And you've noticed a couple principalities that are over the world probably right now. And I think it's a principality of fear, right? And I think there's a principality of hatred, right? I think these two principalities are fighting and warring against each other. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I saw a video that might be going around with Sarah Newby and Julie Osborne. A man from Australia, this was really precious to me, but a man from Australia is praying for America. And it was so precious. Like, why are you doing that? You know, you have your own country, you have your own family, you have your own church. And I saw the video, and it was so pure because he's praying for America, and I thought, that is the heart of God. As he's praying for America, he said, I see two large principalities really over the world. One is hatred. The other one is fear. And then I saw this strange picture. It was like there was a bride that was pushing the two demonic entities back. And you know that this bride is the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ dressed in white, pushing back the darkness, the hatred, and the fear. We are the bride of Christ. And I just want to say to the worship team, raise a hallelujah. Just keep raising up a hallelujah. It's one of the weapons of our warfare that we have against the enemy and against the powers and principalities in high places. Amen. Raise a hallelujah. All right, so how do we get these afflictions? Let's focus in on the church. You and I need to be set free from the enemy. And so there's something called afflictions. We have afflictions in our lives where maybe because of sin we've opened up a door. And it opens up a door for demonic entities to oppress us. And we all have sin. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. But these doors are open to the enemy many times through sin. It doesn't even have to be our sin. but it can be generational sin. And what happens then is the door is open and a demonic spirit will come and attempt to oppress us. When that is done, this is called the strong man, when that is done, it pulls other demonic spirits in with it, and then we become oppressed. Now, I believe that we all need a spiritual car wash. So what I do is I put myself in a prayer setting where I can have somebody who has discerning of spirits pray for me so that I can go through the spiritual car wash and make sure that I'm free from any of these afflictions. You know, if you've ever carried a bag of salt down the stairs to your vat, that's what it's like to be oppressed by the enemy. And I don't know anybody who wants to carry that salt down the stairs. That's what it's like to be oppressed by the enemy. It's that type of heaviness, that type of oppression. When you set that down, you can easily run the race that God has set before you. Right? The Bible talks about encumbrances. So we each need a spiritual car wash. When the yoke is broken, the yoke that the enemy has put upon us, we can run free. I just want to say this again. Would you believe that most work in deliverance or freedom fighting is needed in the body of Christ? Most of the work has to be for us so that we can run the race that has been set before us. This is the point. We need to be set free. We're not oblivious or not in need of being set free. We too need to be set free. There's different kinds of tools. One is something called sozo. So different kinds of tools for deliverance. One is called sozo, which is a Greek word for healing. You've heard of theophostic ministry. Theophostic is where we allow the light of God to shine into the dark recesses of our life. There's prayer ministry where we're waiting on the Holy Spirit. Some people in a prayer ministry circle will have a gift of discerning of spirits, where they can discern the spirits that have come against somebody. Others in the prayer ministry are just praying in intercession, don't necessarily have the gift of discerning of spirits. I want to give you just a couple strong men. So the Bible says, talks about a strong man. And what we do is we bind the strong man, we sweep the house clean, then we fill the house back up. So what are some of the strong men that come against us? The primary strong man that comes against you and I is what we're experiencing today, and that is fear. If the enemy can hold you captive to fear, he can debilitate you from running the race that God has for you. So fear is one of the strong men. And when we're praying for people to be set free and delivered from demonic spirits, we want to first identify what the strong man or the stronghold would be. So one of them is fear. Another one is abandonment. A person that has been adopted a lot of times will struggle with a spirit of abandonment. Another one is a spirit of death. Anyone that has been in recurring car accidents is somebody that is having the spirit of death torment them. Generational sin is another one. Generational curses is another one. These are the strong men. And then the hardest one is for all of us, but the hardest one, I would say, is called a spirit of religion. And this is a stronghold for a lot of people. It's just this spirit holds on so strongly to us and keeps us from walking in the fullness of what God has for us. All right, what are some very practical steps? In this moment in our culture, in our society, one of the easiest things that is a form of deliverance is to walk in the opposite spirit. Guys, I have four children. Melody and I have 4 children, a little grandbaby. We probably should not spend much time on Facebook. I tell my kids, try to get off of Facebook. Because everything on Facebook right now is an open door for argument. We are citizens of heaven. Right? We are kingdom advancers, kingdom builders. We are just passing through. So don't be offended by that. If you're on Facebook and you feel that that's a way to interact with people and you're touching lives through that, no problem. But what I've seen is an open forum for argument and debate. And I believe as citizens of heaven and people that are passing through, kingdom advancers, that one of the best things we can do is just walk in the opposite spirit. When there is hatred all around, you and I get to walk in love. Watch out for bitterness. So the Bible tells us that if you have a root of bitterness, it will defile your whole being. Repent. Forgive people to the best of your ability. You don't have to forget what was done to you. But I just want to encourage you, get rid of offense in your heart. Don't let the enemy grab hold and create offenses in your heart. Because the Bible says that that leads to a root of bitterness. Pastor Craig always says this, and to be honest with you, I hadn't actually thought about this because I was more focused on the deliverance component. But equally as important is getting free is how you stay free. To be completely honest with you, I never thought about that until Craig was just sharing that over and over again that, you know, the deliverance is the easy part because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. That is fairly easy. But what choices are we making to stay free? What boundaries have we put in place that allow us to say no to the same things that got us in the mess that we're in? So what boundaries do we have in place? In a very practical ministry setting, if someone's coming for prayer, all we do is show compassion. It doesn't matter what sin they've been dealing with. The foremost ministry component is compassion. Everything Jesus did, he did out of compassion. Jesus has been merciful to us. We are to show mercy. Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you? Love justice. Seek mercy. Walk humbly with your God. So, in a very practical ministry time, and for someone that is going through what we call a car wash, we simply want to just gather a small team around. Always pray in team, right? Always pray in team. If one can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000 to flight. You know, the disciples always went out in twos, right? So they didn't go out by themselves mostly. They went out in twos. Jesus sent them out by twos. So always pray in team. And then just sort of a funny side note, when you pray for deliverance, always pray with your eyes open. And when you prophesy, prophesy with your eyes closed. It's just kind of a funny thing. So when you prophesy, a lot of times you can use cues from the person. So it's best just to pray with your eyes closed. But when you pray deliverance, pray with your eyes open in case you get kicked. A little bit, yeah. Because when manifestations occur, there can be some, you know, some manifestations. All right. And then finally, just prophesy into the future of the person. So a very generic ministry setting is this. A person comes in for prayer. 2 or 3 ministers are gathered around, submitting one to another. Discerning of spirits, praying for the person specifically, recognizing what the strong man is, taking authority over every other demonic entity, and then asking for the Holy Spirit to fill them back up. We are in need of liberty in the body of Christ. How does liberty come? Liberty comes through introducing people to Jesus, as Pastor Craig has been doing this last couple weeks. Liberty comes from studying the Word of God and renewing our minds. Liberty comes from worship. Liberty comes from allowing the anointing to flow through our lives and impacting the lives of other people. You guys know that Jesus is coming soon. Like sooner than we think, Jesus is going to come soon. And he's coming back for a bride without spot and wrinkle. So we need to understand that part of our journey is getting set free from demonic oppression. I just want to share a couple stories with you. I have just had the privilege of praying for, I would say, hundreds of people to be set free from demonic oppression. And it's all under the radar. Like, I don't hold meetings and scream at a demon. I don't throw water at people. I was in India where they actually throw water at people to get the demonic. But I've had an opportunity to pray for many people to just be set free from demonic oppression. And I want to encourage you guys, will you join all of us in seeing the captives set free? You know, ask God for good gifts so that you can equip the body of Christ and see people set free. So let me give you a couple stories. I was praying for a young man, and as I was praying for him, again, God just gives me this discerning of spirit so I can kind of tell what's going on. I was in a church setting, actually, and we were invited to do some prophetic ministry there. And as I was praying for him, I sensed that God was delivering him from a spirit of death. Now, I've never met him before. I'm in this setting where it's mostly there to prophesy, but as I'm prophesying over him, I heard the Lord say, life, 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 life. God has come to give you life and that more abundantly. And then I just began to discern a spirit of death. So I took authority over this spirit. I broke the power of this spirit of death. And then we prayed for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the fun stuff. This is like the after the story of ministry, and we all have these stories. But what was going on with him is he had written a suicide note. He came to this meeting. He said, God, if you don't speak to me, I'm going to end my life tonight after the meeting. Now, this is pretty dramatic, and this is not every story. A lot of times, it's not quite as dramatic as this. It's really simple talking through things. But in this particular case, I had a privilege of just sort of prophesying over him, breaking a spirit of death. And to this day, he is married. He's completely set free from alcoholism. He has 3 children, and he is living his very, very, very best life. Praise God. We are called to fulfill the Great Commission. Lay your hands on the sick that they would recover. Cast out demons. Preach to the poor. These are the things that we get to do. And I just want to encourage you guys this morning. Will you be a freedom fighter? Will you join in what it means to see the captive set free? Isaiah 61, will you give people beauty for ashes? I just want to pray a brief prayer and just almost like impart to you a new desire to see captives set free. Father, this morning, I thank you for this time of being in this church, God. And God, thank you for the goodness of who you are. God, we thank you that even though there are storms all around us, that you are good to us. And God, as we long to be about our Father's business, we know that part of being about your business is doing the things that you've commanded us to do. God, your word says go into all the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. God, I pray this morning that we would be freedom fighters. I pray, God, that you would equip us to have compassion for those that are bound and need to be set free. God, I pray that you would continue to instruct us and educate us when there are those around us that have been afflicted by the enemy. Father, we know your word says to us that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We know, Father God, that your word says that we are the head and not the tail, and that we can walk in victory over the darkness. God, this morning, before we minister to others, we ask you that you would first work in our lives, that as we are set free, that we would be the freedom fighters to see others set free. Father, we surrender our lives to you again. We lay our lives before you. We ask you, Father God, that you would set us free from the lies of the enemy, from the wrong mindsets that we believe about ourselves or about your character. Father, I pray that you would ignite a new passion inside of us, that the fire of your Holy Spirit would rise up within us, Lord God, and set the captive free. We believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We submit our lives to you, God, that we would be freedom fighters for your glory. In Jesus' name.